The following is a lecture to brahmacharis, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasatikari, recorded on April 27th, 2012, in Kaunas, Lithuania.
Vandeham Sri Guru Shri Jata Barakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghana Tanvitam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Varijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sivishakam Vitamscha. So, brahmachari life means blissful life. The attraction for woman is the binding knot, hridaya granthi, the hard knot in the heart. So, the more that one can become detached from the attraction for woman, that is a sign of his advancing in Krishna consciousness. In the Vedic culture, every young boy, at the age of 5 years, he goes to stay in the ashram of the guru. So he spends 20 years in brahmachari. Every boy, 20 years of brahmachari life, you see. Where every woman is mataji. Completely dedicated to pleasing his spiritual master. So then after 20 years as a brahmachari, he has choice. He can remain brahmachari or he can become grihastha. So whether one wants to remain as a brahmachari for the whole life or he wants to someday become a married man, in either case, the brahmachari ashram is the very best training grounds for them. Brahmachari life means to be 24 hours a day engaged in hearing and chanting about Krishna, serving Krishna, with no distractions. Simply engaged in hearing and chanting, hearing and chanting, hearing and chanting, hearing and chanting. I had the very good fortune when I came to this Krishna consciousness movement to be trained as a brahmachari under His Holiness Vishnujana Swami. It was very nice. We would all... We had no separate brahmachari quarters. We just had a temple room, a kitchen, a bishadam room, and a bathroom, and that was it. So... It was the prasadam room by day, and we would take rest at night in the prasadam room. So Vishnujana Swami, he would lie down like this on his back with his hands like this, with his feet straight out. And all the brahmacharis would, in a row, we'd all sleep in a row, like sardines, you know, sardines in a can, you know. We'd all sleep together like that, laying down with Vishnujana Swami at night. So we'd just lay down together in a row. It was very, very nice, very disciplined. There was a rules posted on the wall, the rules of the ashram. And it said, one rule was no relative topics allowed. You could only talk about Krishna. Only Krishna conscious topics were allowed in the ashram. You couldn't just chat about this and that. It wasn't allowed. And he would fill us with nectar at prasadam time. He had very much read the Krishna book. And he was knowing the stories, so we would take prasad, he would just tell us from his own memory, stories from Krishna book in a very wonderful, attractive way. So it was very, very special being one of Vishnujana Swami's brahmacharis. It was a very, very special thing. And Prabhupada actually confirmed to me in one letter, he said, you have been trained up under the expert guidance of His Holiness Vishnujana Swami. So that was, those memories sit very wonderfully in my heart. My brahmachari days, I spent 14 years like them. Very, very special, wonderful time. It's really, really a sublime time. There's difficulties. Because, especially in our modern culture, where men are attracted by women, and there's so many women walking around half naked, as they're saying in English, decked out to kill. They're all, you know, decked out with the makeup and the dressing and everything just to completely kill your brahmachari consciousness, you know. Decked out to kill. So it's a real challenge, brahmachari life, in that regard. And there was a famous letter about how to be a brahmachari that actually Prabhupada wrote to me. It went all over ISKCON when it was written. It went to all the brahmachari ashrams, all over the movement. Actually, the temples posted the letter everywhere. It was a very famous letter. The letter the Prophet wrote me about brahmachari life. He said that one should talk with the brahmacharinis, he said, almost nil. I mean, it's practically nothing. Only whatever is necessary to talk with women. You don't sit around and chat with women. It's not brahmachari, you see. He doesn't make buddy-buddy with the girls, you see, no. He makes buddy-buddy with the brahmacharis. The boys, but not with the girls, you see. So Prabhupada said, talk almost nil. And he said, actually, the rule is not to even see the face of a woman. That is the rule for brahmachari. You never see a woman's face. He said, in your country, it's a little difficult. Actually, in India, there's some brahmacharis. One order of brahmacharis, if they see a woman, they have to fast the whole day if they see a woman's face. I still remember, I fondly remember in my brahmachari days, one other brahmachari came down from our Dallas temple, Gopalacharya Das Brahmachari. And I was Sankarshan Das Brahmachari. We had our brahmachari ashram on the second floor of the Houston temple. And I was very happily absorbed as a brahmachari, so he said, where's the women's ashram? Actually, it was a few miles away. It wasn't in the same building. It was a few miles away from the temple. He said, where's the women's ashram? And just joking with him, I said, what's a woman? Yeah, that's brahmachari come. What's a woman? What's a woman? Never heard of it. It's a joke, but it's kind of like, it's the mood of a brahmachari, you know. What's a woman? A woman? Never heard of it before. It's a whole mood of just being completely satisfied, you know. See, normally in the material world, unless there's some girls around, it's not, you know, well, where's the fun, you know? There's no girls around, you know. That's the mood. Unless there's some women, I mean, it couldn't be any fun, right? That's the material mood, you see. But in Vedic culture, that consciousness is not there. Yeah, we got to have some girls around so we can have a good time, you know. Not like them. In other words, if we're actually spirit souls, are we spirit souls? Yeah, we're spirit souls. We're not these bodies. If we're actually spirit souls, then why do we need... You know, why do you need another? What's the need of having women around? You know, we don't. If I'm not a male, why do I need a female? I'm not a male. This idea of we've got to have male and female to enjoy. You know, we don't need them because we're spirit souls. Of course, where does that come from? Male and female have to. It comes from Radha Krishna, so it's not an artificial thing. It's natural there. Between Radha and Krishna. Enjoyment means male and female coming together. That is Radha Krishna. So that we, therefore, even the great brahmacharis, they worship that male-female relationship. What does Lord Chaitanya say? He says, Ramya kinchid upasana. I forget now the sentence. Yeah. Ramaka chid upasana rajavadu vargena ya kalpita. He says there is no greater mode of worship than that conceived by the rajavadus, the damsels of Vrindavan. These gopi girls, they have the highest conception. So even though the brahmachari, he's thinking, Krishna, Krishna, that's all I need. But he's worshipping that loving relationship between Krishna and the gopi girls. It's the highest perfection of worship. Lord Chaitanya was very, very strict. No woman could he come within... She had, for the women to offer obeisances, it'd be like 50 yards away. They couldn't come right up close and offer obeisances. He was very strict, but at the same time, he's very lenient also. One time, in the Jagannath temple, some old lady, she wanted the darshan of Lord Jagannath. And she couldn't see because, too many people were in the way. So out of her eagerness to see Lord Jagannath, she got up on Lord Chaitanya's shoulder. And he allowed her to do that. So mm-hmm. She could have the darshan. So Lord Chaitanya was very, very strict. At the same time, he was very merciful as well. So brahmachari life doesn't mean to be cold towards women, to hate women, you see. Just like that famous brahmachari prayer, Yadavadi mama cheta krishna padara vinde nava nava rasa damanu jatarantumasit tadavadi bhattanari sangame smaryabhane bhavati mukushu shtivanastiva namcha. He says, ever since I've been engaged in the transcendental loving service of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, deriving what? Nava Nava Rasa, ever increasing taste in that Radha Krishna Seva. You see. If ever the thought of sex pleasure comes, I immediately spit at the thought. He doesn't say I spit at the woman. I spit at the thought of sex with the woman, you see. The woman, she is my mother. That is Vedic culture. The brahmachari is trained to respect every woman as mother. Now, does mother mean you're disrespectful? No. Mother means you're very respectful. Your mother in Vedic culture, you bow down to your mother. Actually, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, it's in the Prabhupada's purport, or in the verse, I forget which, but the austerity of the body is to offer respectful obeisances to the father and mother is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. So one is meant to be very, very respectful to one's father and to one's mother. So, therefore, the women are very highly respected as our mothers. We don't hate... if a brahmachari who hates women, his brahmachari life is artificial. It's not a real brahmachari, you see. He'll be the first one to fall into lusty desires, the one who hates women. Because attachment and aversion are two sides of the same coin. If you hate women, oh, women. Actually, you're just lusting after them like anything. And that lust comes out in hate. It's just it's the same intense feeling. It's just coming in at the other side of the coin. But one who is actually cool-headed, you see, he's in the proper situation. Who's neither attached to women nor he's averse to women. He respects them as mother, and he absorbs himself in Krishna consciousness. Here's an interesting quote for brahmacharis. Prabhupada told the devotees, he said, this is in the early days of 26 Second Avenue. He said, collect all the beautiful girls and give them to Krishna. And he will dance rasa dance with them. Just like we go out for preaching. Or we engage so many girls at the temple, you see. So many beautiful young girls. This is our duty, to collect all the beautiful girls and give them to Krishna, to engage them in Lord Chaitanya's movement. There are some brahmachari parties, the book distribution parties. They have a rule that only distribute books to men, because they don't want any of the brahmacharis to get carried away and leave the book distribution party. But I never heard Prabhupada make such a policy. He said, collect all the beautiful girls and give them to Krishna. But of course, you have to be very careful. You're preaching to a beautiful young girl, riyada on book distribution. You know, become carried away. You have to be very careful. Sometimes they try to attract you. Someone has to be very cool-headed. I was out preaching one time in Gainesville, book distribution, and one girl who was coming to the temple, she knew we were brahmacharis, but she took her finger and put in my navel and went like that, in my navel. So, you know, like really, you just got to be really cool-headed sometimes, not get carried away. You know, these women sometimes lusty women can do weird things sometimes. You got to be really cool-headed. I had one time, I went door to door. There was a married couple. They knew they could see I was a brahmachari from the temple. They wanted to agitate my mind, so they came to the door naked. And they hugged and kissed each other in front of me. Completely naked. Just to agitate my, you know, here's a monk, let's have some fun and, you know, agitate his mind with sex desire, you know. That didn't bother me. I just kind of laughed at it, you know. But you got to be really ready, because sometimes things will come like that, you know. Some woman tries to, you know, lure your mind, or you got to be ready, you know, to protect your brahmachari consciousness. Because brahmachari means that you're giving up sense gratification, you see. You're giving it up. You just want to please Krishna. There was a nice... Remember when I joined that brahmachari ashram in Austin with Vishnujan Swami? One of the other brahmacharis, he told me what Vishnujan Swami had said. I thought it was a very nice thing. He said, for millions of lifetimes, you have been attached to wife and children. Just for one lifetime, being attached simply to Guru and Krishna, you see. That made a lot of sense to me, you see. All right, I've gone after wife and children for millions of births, as a human being, as a dog, as a pig, as a monkey, as a bird. You know, flying off to get the worms for my wife and the little kitties back in the nest, you know. I've done this for millions of lifetimes. Why not just make an experiment and give one life simply for Guru and Krishna, you see. And if you're not happy with it, well, you can come back and have wife and kids in your next life. But just try one lifetime simply Guru and Krishna, and that's it. And that's a very nice piece of advice, you see. This is an experiment. You can always have a beautiful girl in your next life. But just try one life. This life, no girl. I've had girls for millions of births, or guys, sometimes when I was a girl, you know. I've had that male-female thing for millions of lifetimes. Let's just try one life without that male-female thing. Just try it for one life and see what the result is. See what I get from it. And it's actually a very wonderful thing. To give up sex pleasure. Even though I'm a married man, actually, I've been practicing brahmacharya the whole time. I never became a grihastha. I went straight to vanaprastha ashram. But grihastha means using sex, you know, for raising family. I never became a grihastha. I went straight from brahmacharya to vanaprastha. So I'm very much been in the mood of the brahmacharya. I never lost that brahmacharya mood. All the way through. For 41 years, that brahmacharya mood is always there with me. It's a very, very nice mood. Very, very wonderful moon. All I need is Krishna. But the Lord said, Sanya, pray, I know no one but Krishna is my Lord, and he shall remain so, even if he handles me roughly by his embrace or leaves me brokenhearted by not being present before me, still he is my worshipful Lord unconditionally. So that is the mood in which one can be happy, very happy as a brahmachari. Whatever my Lord wants, that's all. I'm just his servant. That's it. Nothing else. Nothing else. I'm not the enjoyer. I'm the servant of the enjoyer, you see. I don't need to enjoy. I just need to serve the enjoyment of the Supreme. That is brahmachari. And that is the topmost platform of enjoyment. That I just need to serve the enjoyment of the Supreme. And then the Supreme is manifested as my spiritual master. I have to please my spiritual master. See that he is happy with me by my thoughts, by my words, and by my deeds in all times, places, and circumstances. If you do that, you see, you're completely happy. All you have to do is please your spiritual master. Prabhupada has very much always been with me. Ever since that moment, I gave myself to Prabhupada. He's always been very much with me in my heart. He's always been with me. So that mood of completely renouncing a material sense gratification and completely giving yourself to Guru and Krishna endears you very much to your spiritual master and to all the acharyas. You become very dear to your own spiritual master and to all the acharyas by that mood of giving up sense gratification and just wanting to be purely absorbed in bhakti 24 hours a day. In that mood, you'll never feel alone. You'll always feel how your spiritual master is with you, how Prabhupada is with you, Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, Gaurakishore Das Babaji, Jagannath Das Babaji. You'll feel all the acharyas are showering their mercy on you. So it's very worthwhile mood. And even a householder, you see, if he's in the mood of enjoying, he's called a Grihamedi. You see, he has to be in the same mood as a brahmachari. Seeing his wife as a property of Krishna, engaging her in Krishna's service. Just as we see the brahmachari sees these women, they're all the property of Krishna, they have to be engaged in Krishna's service. The householder has to have the same mood. He has to have the same mood as the brahmachari. That's why the brahmachari ashram is the proper training for grihasthas. The same mood of brahmachari consciousness, it has to be accepted by the grihastha. Otherwise, he becomes grihamedi, you see. He falls down and has illicit sex with his wife, you see. And it would be a very miserable situation. Breaking the principles, very miserable. One problem some brahmacharis have is masturbating. They artificially stimulate their genitals and pass semina. That is illicit sex. It's illicit sex. You can't do that. You have to withhold your semina. Brahmachari life means to withhold your semina. And the semina, if withheld, it's called urdhva rita. Veta is semina, urdhva means upwards. If the semina is withheld within your body, it will go up and nourish your brain. You see. So the brahmachari, by withholding his semina, or a householder, by only having once in a month, you see, minimizing them. By withholding that semina, the semina nourishes the brain for Vedic understanding. Good health and longevity. So Brahma, the modern-day psychologists say, well, you know, if you're agitated, just, you know, you can't have sex and just masturbate. These people have no brains because they masturbated too much themselves, you see. They have no brains, these modern-day psychologists. They don't understand anything. They're completely in ignorance. The more you can withhold your semina, you see, actually the perfection is never to pass semina even once. It's stated in Prabhupada's books that to achieve Brahman realization, those who want to merge into Brahman, they can never have lost even one drop of semana. That's a requirement for Brahman realization. You see. Now, Bhagavan realization, there's some allowance that you can be a married man and have children. Or even if you're a fallen sex monger, you can, by Krishna's grace, he'll take away all those reactions and you can become a pure devotee. But the principle of withholding semana is very, very important. There was that whole book by Dhanavir Maharaj, Brain Gain. That you were reading that book, yeah. So many people in the material world also acknowledge the great benefit of brahmachari life. Prabhupada gave the example of Gandhi. He was not a devotee. But Gandhi practiced brahmachari life from the age of 30. Even within, as a married man, he practiced brahmachari, celibacy. And Prabhupada said because he withheld that brahmachari life made him very determined, you see. And by that determination, he was able to drive the British out of India. So even for material success, brahmachari life is very good. If you want to be a millionaire, a famous this or that, anything you want to achieve, some great thing in the material world, if you practice brahmachari life, it will help you to do that. So brahmachari is good for everything, material and spiritual. But especially for spiritual life, it's very good. The very best thing is brahmacharis. I remember hearing Prabhupada in the beginning, he was thinking he could just have brahmacharis, the movement would just be a brahmachari movement. But he saw all the girls were coming, he had to accommodate them. But the first idea was this is the brahmacharis and sannyasis. Someone told me that, but... So we have to, we accommodate the women also, and we train them also to become brahmacharini. Same principle. So anyway, I can ask now if there's any questions. Yeah.
Sometimes brahmacharis has a lot of service and become miserable. Can you share your experience? And then you was making a lot of service in the kitchen and pujari and many, many service. Can you share your experience in that time?
Sometimes they become miserable because they have so much service. Yeah. So what's the question?
Can you share your experience?
Ah.
Then you was making service.
Yeah, I remember one time I was, in my brahmachari days, I was so loaded you couldn't believe it. Our Houston temple, every devotee would go out on book distribution all day long. They needed one devotee to stay back, do everything. Offer all the RTs, answer the phone, take care of guests that came, cook the deity sweets, cook the offerings, clean the plates. They had one devotee do everything. That was me. It was so intense. I mean, the schedule was so intense. One time, I remember I had to pass stool, and where's the time, you know? Like my schedule was so tight, but I was so regulated that I made the offering, and I had to do the arti. I made it was 15 minutes in there, right? Pujaris know 15 minutes. So I made the offering, then I ran upstairs, I passed to, I took shower, put on my dhoti, put on my tilak, I was down in time for the arti. It was so intense, and. I remember I wanted to mail a letter to somebody. In those days, we had snail mail. We didn't have email in those days. You had to write an envelope, and a stamp, the old-fashioned way. So I wanted to send a letter to somebody, but it was, where's the time to even, it was 3 blocks away to the mailbox. Where is the time to do that? To even go to the mailbox? My schedule was so intense. There was no time to even go to the mailbox in my whole day. But somehow that one day I squeezed it in, and I mailed that letter and I went, wow, it's amazing. I mean, I couldn't even walk out of the building. It was so intense. My schedule was so intense, I couldn't even walk out of the building. I mean, it was really something. But in that intense yajna, I was doing that for a whole year, I did that. I mean, it was, I really had to be humble because they had sent me there to become the vice president from Atlanta. They asked. They said, "We need a vice president. We want you to go to Houston to be the vice president." I said, "Wow, I'm moving up now. Now I'm moving up the ladder, you know. Great." And I got there. When I got there, the cook invited me into the kitchen. And he said, "Sankarshan Prabhu, here's your spoons, here's your spices, here's your pots. Haribol Prabhu, I'm going to Miami. You're the cook now." They changed their mind. There was a personal friend of the Tamil president became available in the middle of it. And he became the vice president, I became the cook. So I just had to humbly take it. You know, Brahmacharya just humbly takes it. I was supposed to be the vice president, but I got downgraded in one sense. You know. At least I was thinking I'd been downgraded, but I just had to humbly take it, you know. All right, I'm the cook now. Yeah. All right, I'm the cook. But I tell you, that year of being the cook, and it was intense. See, here, being a cook is not so bad because the summers are not that bad. In the winter, it's a great place to be in the winter in that kitchen with that stove going. You know? But in Houston, oh my God. The first air-conditioned athletic stadium in the whole world is the Astrodome in Houston. The whole thing is air-conditioned. You know? That's how bad it is in Houston. They have a huge, huge thing for air-conditioned, you know, football, baseball, everything inside air-conditioning. That's how horrible Houston is. So there I was in Houston with this heavy, heavy humidity and the heat in it. You have to go into the kitchen in the middle of the summer. It's like, oh my God. You just have to take it. The temple room was air-conditioned. You get a little relief by going to the temple room. But for your service all day long, you just had to gut it out. And you just have to tolerate it, and after a while you don't even think about it anymore. You just take it, I got to do this austerity, and you just accept it. So I did that, and then this was the wonderful thing. In those days, we didn't have MP3s, we had cassette tapes of the Prabhupada's lectures. And there was a couple of tapes that somebody had left there. I didn't have a big collection, but there was a couple of tapes somebody had left. There was a tape deck, you know, for playing the Govinda prayers. And there was a few Prabhupada lectures. There was one particular lecture that was left there. And so for those hours and hours a day, I would hear the cassette means two lectures in the front and the back. And for hours and hours a day, I would hear this same lecture over and over again, the Hyderabad temple opening address. And I must have heard that hundreds of times that year. But this was the beauty of being a brahmachari, totally dedicated to doing my service day in and day out, cooking the offerings. The only time I could read was when I was cooking the burfi. That was the only reading time I had, was when I was cooking the burfi. I could hold the book and stir the burfi while I was reading. Once a week I would read while I was stirring the burfi. That's how intense it was. My schedule was so intense. But I could hear those tapes all day long. And I still remember, you know, I can still hear those words Prabhupada speaking. They went deep, deep, deep into my heart. He said that the temple... See, in India, if you're a cleaner, you're a low class, you know, outcast person, someone who cleans the toilet, you know, you're really low class. No gentleman, the higher, you bring in some low class person to clean the toilet and all that kind of stuff. But in Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada engaged us in doing that work, you see. And in India, it's here you are from a Brahmin family and they have you cleaning the toilet. It's like, no. But Prabhupada made a very strong point. He said, the temple is the body of Krishna. Don't think otherwise. The temple is the body of Krishna. So whether you're bathing the deities or you're cleaning, it's the same thing. So the point is I'm making is by that complete absorption and doing that service, even though I didn't want to do that, I was doing campus preaching before then, going out on the campus every day and making devotees. And in Atlanta, they had me doing lectures on the college campuses. I love that. But to go from being a college lecturer to being a, you know, as the cook, it was a real austerity for me, but it really purified me. And I learned how to become more and more connected with hearing my spiritual master's words, you see. Because that is the brahmachari. He's, have you ever seen the old, there's an old company called the RCA Victor Record Company. And they had a logo, a famous logo. It showed a dog with his ears at the Victrola. It said, his master's voice. The dog is going like this, hearing his master's voice. So that's brahmachari life, you see. He's totally absorbed in the hearing the sound vibration coming from the lotus mouth of his spiritual master. That is his perfection. That is his perfection. I remember when I would get an opportunity to be with Prabhupada, I would make a point of sitting right as close as I could. I wouldn't sit far away. No, I would sit just on the right side of the Vyasa sign. I would get as close as I could to Prabhupada. You see, because that's the brahmachari's mood is I simply want to be, you know, as close as possible to my spiritual master, to hear every word he says, to just be, you know, totally dedicated to pleasing him with everything that I do. That's the perfection for the brahmachari, to be tightly totally absorbed in hearing from his spiritual master, becoming purified by the words from his spiritual master's mouth, and dedicating his life fully to executing the mission of his spiritual master. That is brahmachari. If you're in that mood, Maya can't touch you. The material nature won't be able to disturb you. Cupid may attack you sometimes, but if you're in that mood of pleasing your spiritual master and serving his mission, you can immediately see, oh, this is Maya, this is Cupid. You won't be fooled. You'll have the intelligence to know when Cupid is doing a number on your head, on your consciousness. You'll have the intelligence to know, oh, Cupid's doing a number on me right now. You see. A brahmachari who's totally dedicated to his spiritual master, he can recognize Cupid or Maya's attack and not be carried away by it. Just like a very powerful, strong country like the U.S., they have all their systems to detect if any enemy is coming, any enemy missiles are coming to the U.S. They have all the systems so they can shoot them down before they get to they come to the U.S. They have a very powerful system of detecting any kind of enemy missiles coming into the U.S. So that brahmachari is like that, you see. He has a powerful radar. Because of his dedication to his spiritual master, he's blessed with a very good radar system to be able to see if there's any in his mind, if Maya is playing any tricks, you see, so he can protect himself from them. So any other questions? Yeah.
Now in our temple also Mataji's brahmacharin is living also.
Yeah.
So in the future, what we should try to achieve, that only brahmacharis is staying and trying to attract more brahmacharis, and no more brahmacharis is living in the same building, or what should be our future?
The best thing is you have you have more and more devotees, men and women both. That's the best thing. Our movement is meant to save the whole world. So the best thing is you have an ever-increasing number of men and women both coming to this movement. That's what we want.
He's asking because he just came from India, and in India he was staying in Chaupati temple, and there is no brahmacharinis in that temple. So this example should be followed. That is,
yeah, well, they have in India they have a stronger grihastha ashram. In India, they still the parents arrange marriages for the children even now. Arranged marriages are still going on in India, where the girls are married off to a boy. So, of course, it's breaking down now, but still in India, there's a better protection for the girls in India, in that sense. They arrange marriages for the girls, the parents do. We don't have that in the Western world. So it's our duty, if there are unmarried girls who want to be devotees, we have to facilitate them. So we have to give all protection to anybody who wants to take shelter of Krishna. One time there was a heavy era in ISKCON, the Radha-Damodar era, when one year at Mayapur they made all these heavy resolutions against house odors and women. They made one resolution that no unmarried woman with a child should ever be allowed to stay in the temple. And this is a resolution passed by the GBC. And they read these off to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada didn't like that resolution. I forget exactly, Balavantara who told the story. He was there, a witness to this. It's on the video, I remember, but the Prabhupada was not very pleased. And then, so they dropped that resolution. Prabhupada did not like this idea that, you know, that somebody who wants to take shelter of Krishna should not be allowed to do that because of their body. Prabhupada did not like that. The pure devotee is merciful to everyone. So, it's a fact in India that they do not have. That's a thing. It's very nice. I was in our Pune. I regularly preach in our Pune temple. It's the same thing. 300 brahmacharis. It's very nice. I love it. I think the only woman staying on the property was Guru Mata. It's very, very nice. Very, very nice woman. Wow. Pune. I go there twice a year now to preach. They like very much my coming there. They made so many lectures for me. Yeah, it's very nice. But here, especially in the Western countries, there's no proper grihastha. The girls are not very well protected. We have to do something for them. It's an austerity, actually, for us. But that's a duty Prabhupada gave us, to take care of these souls, these poor souls who are suffering in the material world. Any other questions? Yeah.
Jisai sakė, kad pasidarys neturėtų imtis neturėtų imtis ilgai užsimti tokią tarnybą, kuri yra ne pagal jo materialę prigimtį, nes tai yra pavojinga. Tai ką Guru Tatana gali pasakyti?
Dineshvara Prabhu was giving class and he told that devotees should not for long time do the service which is not according his material nature, which he don't like. So he should not do it for a long time, because it's very dangerous, he can fall down.
Actually, in this regard, Prabhupada explains that how the spiritual master, he will engage that disciple according to his natural propensities. Because that is actually the ideal thing. But the disciple's mood is whatever my spiritual master orders me. Whether it's my nature or not, I don't care. You see? The spiritual master will always try to see that every devotee is engaged according to his nature. From his side, but the disciple's side is a Hari Guru Maharaj engages me. That being that cook that year in Houston, it was not my nature. It was tough. I know it. It makes a lot of sense to me, that statement. But I was surrendered. It's not that I was thinking, oh, they have to let me out of this service because it's not my nature. I didn't think that way. You see, that's not the mood for the disciple. The disciple thinks, well, you know, I mean, my nature is giving lectures and preaching. That's my nature. But, you know, being the cook, actually my hands got, I was having a health problem. I was having a very bad skin problem, but my hand couldn't take it. It's a horrible itching and a very difficult thing with my right hand. In the water all the time, I got a health problem with my hand and everything. It was definitely not my nature to do that. But I made tons of advancement that year. So you can always let your authorities know, your spiritual master know, your temple authorities know, this is difficult for me, it's not really my proclivity to serve in this way. You should let them know if you're having difficulty and I need to change my service. You shouldn't just suffer in silence, you know, some service is more than you can handle. You should let your authorities know so they can try to arrange something that's more suitable for your nature. At the same time, one should be prepared to do whatever. There's a saying, the Prabhupada, a very popular saying, or common, Prabhupada, do the needful, was Prabhupada's statement. It may not be my nature, but it needs to be done. Sannyasi can do anything for Krishna, you see. A sannyasi will do it. He can clean, he can cook, he can offer arti, he can distribute books, he can go to the bank. A sannyasi can do anything. That is sannyasi. He's completely detached from his whatever his nature is. It doesn't matter. Whatever the need for, that is sannyasi mood, you see. Whatever needs to be done, I can do. That's a sannyasi. Totally renounced. So actually to be able to do what is not your nature and accept it as Krishna's mercy, that will bring great advancement in Krishna consciousness. But at the same time, you can always let your authorities know, this is not my nature. But I don't agree that it's harmful for your devotional service. I don't accept that. I've never seen that anywhere in Prabhupada's books. That'll harm your devotional service to surrender to doing something that's not your nature. I've never seen that in Prabhupada's books. Sometimes devotees say things that they're their opinion, that are not confirmed in the books. And I'm sorry, I just can't blindly accept things that aren't given by Prabhupada. You know, people say things like, you know, pick your own rasa. That's completely against Prabhupada's teachings. You know, I appreciate my godbrothers, but if they say something which is not confirmed in Prabhupada's books, I'm not going to accept it. I'm sorry. I'm not going to accept it. Our law books are Prabhupada's books. Prabhupada's the authority. I've never seen Prabhupada. Maybe if it's there, all right. But I don't remember ever seeing that in the books. That it's harmful for you to to surrender to a service which is not according to your nature for a long time. Any surrender to Krishna, Prabhupada told us very clearly what it means to surrender. He said, even if I'm miserable, still I remain surrendered. He says, even if I, by surrendering to the temple, surrendering to Krishna, living in the temple, I'm miserable, I give up and go away. He said, no, that is not surrender. So this meaning of surrender is, even if Krishna wants me to do what is against my nature for 10 billion lifetimes, that's all right. That's surrender, you see. This idea that, no, my nature, I don't accept this. Because I've never seen it in Prabhupada's books anywhere. In Karmakanda or something like that, within the modes of nature, we're talking about pure bhakti here. We are a pure bhakti movement. Our movement is pure bhakti movement. And that means whatever your nature is, you rise beyond your material nature. That's your material nature, your modes of nature. We're meant to rise beyond the modes. Actually, what is the nature of practically of every young man? He wants a girl in this culture. So according to that philosophy, every brahmachari, we can't have any sannyasis in ISKCON, according to that philosophy. Well, to abolish the sannyas ashram, because you can't stay in an artificial position for too long because it's bad for your Krishna consciousness. So forget sannyas. Maybe a rare soul, but generally, that would mean no more sannyasis in ISKCON. Because it's not my nature. We're all, you know, we grew up in the, I mean, we grew up in a sexually surcharged society, you know, the Beatles, I want to hold your hand, I want to hold your, you know. Sexually surcharged culture, you know? Sexually surcharged culture. So, but Prabhupada never said, well, he wants all the brahmacharis to get married because if they stay brahmachari too long, it will be bad for their spiritual life. He never said that. Never said that. He encouraged people to remain brahmachari for the whole life. Great, great encouragement he gave to the brahmacharis to stay brahmachari. And if somebody wanted to switch ashrams, he blessed that also. But not that he said everybody needs to eventually get married. He never said that. Never said that. It's not true. But statistically, most of the brahmacharis do get married. Eventually. But those rare souls that can remain brahmachari, they glorious, very glorious devotees. Very glorious devotees. Of course, the householders are also glorious, but there's a great, to remain brahmachari is an act of heroism. Mm-hmm. It's a heroism, to be a hero. You're a hero. You can remain brahmachari, you are a hero. You're a real hero. Even if it's torturous for you. I remember, here's a nice example about brahmachari life. We fly in the airplanes all the time. Now they have individual movie consoles you can watch or not watch. But in the old days, they used to have, everybody had to see the movie whether you wanted to see it or not. It's there on the screen, you know, the way it used to be a few years ago. So we were coming back from India, from the Holy Dham, the way back to the U.S., and they had a movie called the Superman movie on the screen. Superman, you know? So I thought, well, all right, there's nothing else. It's right in front of you, so I went ahead and watched it. And so Superman, he was actually a brahmachari, you see. But there was this lady, Lois Lane, who was in love with him. And he decided to give in to Cupid and have a romance with Lois Lane, you see. And then some enemies came. And he went to defeat them, and they punched him out. He was defeated by some mere mortal man. Because he got lusty for Lois Lane, he lost his potency as Superman. So he had a choice. Do I want to remain a great, empowered person to defeat the evil in the world, or I want to have a romance with Lois Lane? And he chose brahmachari. All right, I'll let Lois go. I'm going to remain the great fighter against evil, you see. So it was a very good, I said, wow, this is pretty cool. I was a brahmachari at the time. I said, wow, this is really cool. I can remember this movie, you know, this is really good. Because that's a fact. That by you remaining dedicated, even if it's against your nature, even if it's torture for you to remain brahmachari, you see. If you can do that austerity for Guru and Krishna, you will get power. You will get spiritual power for defeating evil within your own heart and in the world around you. You see, you become a powerful preacher. You see, and even as a householder, remaining brahmachari, it's given me a lot of punch. You see, and I put a lot of punch in my preaching. Instead of putting that punch into sex, another type of punch is sex. You see, you put that punch into preaching. Another way of looking at it is this. You know, the men feel this urge to, you know, make women pregnant, you know. So we have, a man feels that urge to impregnate women, you see. It's a certain natural stimulus to impregnate women, you see. So why Why impregnate a woman or two or three or whatever they do nowadays? Why not impregnate the whole world with Krishna bhakti, you see? So if you mean brahmachari, then you can use that potency, that impregnating potency can be used for impregnating the whole world with Krishna consciousness. Why make two or three women pregnant when you can make the whole world pregnant? That's my point. You see? Instead of making a woman or, you know, in Vedic culture you can have a few wives, you know. Instead of making a few women pregnant, let me make the whole world pregnant with Krishna consciousness. Instead of injecting semina into a woman, let me inject Krishna bhakti in the heart of all living entities. You see, that is brahmachari. Let me inject Krishna consciousness into the heart of all living beings. That's called the greater sex pleasure. The greater sex pleasure. Why give up sex? Increase it. Brahmachari means you're increasing your sexual activity, of impregnation, the whole world. Make the whole world pregnant, you see. The greater sex pleasure. So if you take it in that way, it's not torture anymore. It's now you become empowered, you become potent. The austerity of tolerating that boy-girl tendency, you know, that doing that austerity, the more you can just say, okay, I'm not going to get into that. I've been doing it for millions of lifetimes. This lifetime, I'm just going to say, get out of here. Everything's for Guru and Krishna, and that's it. You become greatly empowered preacher by doing that. Apani, what is that? Yad yad atarati shrestas tattare vetara arjana sayad pramanam kurute lokas tadanivaratate. Whatever a great man does, and who is the great man? The brahmachari, the person who is actually a brahmachari, not externally only, but internally within his heart. The person who is brahmachari, actually brahmachari, he is that great man described by Krishna. The brahmachari means that great man who has conquered the sexual urge, you see. Whatever the great man does, the common people follow in his footsteps. Whatever standard he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. So tolerate that. If it's difficult, tolerate it. Become a great preacher. Become a great acharya, you see. Become a great acharya by tolerating it. Not that it's my nature. I have to give in, you know. No, you don't have to give in. You can tolerate that nature. Prabhupada said, tolerate the itch. Like a bad itch, you know, I can scratch it. Oh, feels so good. Then it itches even more. Oh, I can itch, scratch it even more, you see. Prabhupada told one brahmachari, he said, you scratch the itch, it itches more, you scratch it more, it itches more, you scratch it more, and finally you scratch it so much that it bleeds. It's bleeding. You see? And then you stop scratching it because it's bleeding now. You scratch it so hard it's bleeding. So instead of scratching the itch, brahmacharis, you see, tolerate the itch. Tolerate that itch and what will happen? It'll go away. I have personal experience for 41 years. Because that, as a young man, that those kind of that was very difficult for me. Being a brahmachari was not easy. Practicing, but after 41 years, it's a wonderful transformation of consciousness. To be able to not be carried away by those kind of dirty thoughts, you know. They sometimes enter you to say, oh, here it comes, now let it go. Here it comes, now let it go. Bye-bye. Not, see, in the material world, those thoughts come and they go, now I have to do something. You know, Cupid shot some arrows in my chest and now I have to do something to satisfy it. No. A devotee, he has got a shield. The Cupid's arrow just bounces off. An arrow may come, but it just bounces off. It doesn't penetrate his heart when you become fixed in the brahmachari consciousness. That arrow of lust, you know, Cupid goes zoop, and it just goes toop, just bounces right off, you see. But if you don't have that dedication to Guru and Krishna, that arrow comes and goes, you have to, I got to do something, you know. I got this lusty desire, I got to do something. So any other questions? Okay.
sometimes when I'm doing services or another activities, my mind comes to that point that I can't take it anymore. So, so from here I need to take strength to keep me going through all the struggle.
What's it?
Sometimes, while I'm making service, it sometimes become very hard,
yeah.
And I'm feeling that I cannot handle no more.
Yeah.
So where to get this strength to move?
You have to pray to Krishna. My dear Krishna, please give me the strength. I'm very weak and helpless. I'm under the influence of the material nature at this time. Please help me. Give me the strength that I can continue serving you. Please, my Lord, bless me with the strength. Just have to ask Krishna to help you. He will help you. If you pray to Krishna in that way, he will definitely help you. You have to understand with your intelligence the devotional service is, there's unlimited nectar in any service. Scrubbing pots, distributing books, covering the toilet. Any service you do for Krishna is unlimited nectar in that service. That we don't experience it that way is due to our material consciousness. That's all. So you have to get out of the material consciousness. You have, by turning to Krishna and begging for his help, that immediately brings you out of material consciousness back into Krishna consciousness. You see. The solution is always Krishna consciousness. If you're miserable in a service, it means you're forgetting Krishna. You're forgetting, why am I doing this? I'm doing it to please Krishna. You understand?
Насколько важно дух распространения книг Шрилы Прабхупады Вайшнава Брахмачари и совместное проведение Харина. Кекера Сварби, Вася, книгу Платинума Брахмачари Ашрима, Кекера Сварби, Харинама Праведи нас.
For Brahmacharis, how much this importance of book distribution and Harinam Sankirtan?
The more you can do it, the better.
Harinam in the street.
Yeah, the more you can do Harinam in the streets and book distribution, the better. The more, the better. When I joined, everyone went out every day. Prabhupada gave me an instruction. He said, go every day for street sankirtan. Every day. Actually, the Brahmacharya should go out, every day should go out on Harinam and our book distribution. That should be the standard. As far as possible, every Brahmacharya should go out every day on book distribution and Harinam, every day. That's the standard that Prabhupada said. Every day. Every day. Harinam and book distribution every day. That's the ideal engagement for Brahmacharya. Harinam and book distribution.
How it will help to keep spiritual mood in the temple?
Temple means a place for elevating the consciousness of the people to the spiritual platform. It's not a place for eating and sleeping. It's a place for elevating people to the platform of pure bhakti. So the book that those instructions for pure bhakti, they are contained in the books. These books are simply telling people how to come to pure bhakti. So if we're dedicated to giving this message of pure bhakti to the people, that will very much remind us and purify us that we should be doing it also. Prabhupada said, no, don't just read the books, you must, don't just distribute the books, you must read the books also. So we should live the books and distribute the books. We should be, there's the book Bhagavatam and there's person Bhagavatam. So Prabhupada wants you to become person Bhagavatam also. You see. He wants every devotee to become person Bhagavatam, a living embodiment of the Bhagavatam. So I remember I was with In our Dallas temple, some of the big Maharatis of book distribution, they were there. I was living with them in Brahmacharya Ashram. I had some service with the tape ministry, but they were going out every day in the airport doing huge number of books. They would come back to the temple at night. They would sit around and joke and talk about mundane things. No. They would sit down with the books and read and discuss Prabhupada's books. So this book distribution is to read the books and distribute the books. That is the perfection. The more that our movement can be based on reading and distributing these books, that will make our movement powerful. We're delivering the whole world from chaotic condition. If we stop reading the books, we stop distributing the books, we'll become a useless thing like the Christian church. Useless, simply useless institution. We may have money, we may have followers and temples and so many things. If we don't read the books and distribute the books, then this movement is dead. We want every devotee to be absorbed in reading and distributing these books as much as possible. And the brahmacharis are the best facility for doing that. So every brahmachari should hanker for that opportunity when I can get out in book distribution. When can I get out in Harinam? You see. And I like preaching here because I can distribute many books when I do my lectures. It's very nice. I give one lecture and I can sell 20 hardbound books in one lecture. You see. Like last night we had about 20, maybe 20 hardbound books. I gave one lecture, but 20 hardbound books went out. I very much like coming here. So I can do a lot of book distribution in here in Lithuania. Yeah, this book distribution is, the more we distribute the books, the more our movement makes progress. So somehow or other, get the books out there by lecture programs, festivals, you know, one-on-one preaching on the streets, whatever you can do, get the books out and get the Harinam out there as much as possible to purify the atmosphere. It used to be the standard was 6 days a week, Harinam and book distribution. And one day everybody stays back and cleans the temple for the Sunday, make a big Maha feast, you know, and make the Maha clean up in the temple, big feast, once a week, and then 6 days a week out preaching. That used to be the standard. Temple is not a place for eating and sleeping. It's just like in the Air Force base in the war, you know. It's a place where they come back, they land the planes, they eat, they get some rest, and they get in the plane, and they go back out to drop the bombs, you see. So we have our bombs. Prabhupada's books are the bombs, you see. The temple is a place to come back and get rested up, get some nice prasadam, get spiritually surcharged with a nice Mangal Arati, nice Bhagavatam class, and then go back out and drop those bombs, Prabhupada's books. Is it? Next question.
Srila Gurudev, sometimes devotee says that now book distribution is not so practical, that we need some other programs because everyone has books. And we need some other programs.
We should have book. Not everybody has. So some people say, well, we have, everybody has the books, so we need some other programs now. That's not true. Does every citizen in Lithuania have Prabhupada's book in his house? No. That's not true what they said. But along with book distribution, we should have a good follow-up program also. Not that we just distribute the books and we should have a follow-up program. When somebody gets a book, they should go on a mailing list or an email list. We should have very good follow-up programs, you see. They get the book, and then it's like, so many books went out last night. Do we have their names and email addresses? I don't think so. There should be a very good follow-up program. When somebody takes a book, they go on a mailing list so they can be contacted. If you have any questions about this book, then let us know, you see. We should have every book that goes out, there should be some way of following up with that person. We've given you the book. You can even put a little pamphlet inside the book. If you have any questions, please call us or write us, send us an email. Here's our program. Every book should be a little flyer telling about the temple so they can come and hear classes. We should be very intelligent when we give out these books. how to connect them now with our activities, with, so we can cultivate them, you see. We planted the seed, they've got the seed planted, now we have to see that the seed is watered. There's a weeding process going on. So there has to be a good follow-up program, you see. There should be a very good follow-up program going, you see. They should have a very well-designed follow-up system. For book distribution should be backed up by a very good follow-up program. So along with the books, they're being cultivated. Any other questions? Yeah.
Скажите, как любил преданных Кришну Джан Махарадж? И как он... какая ваша, может быть, любимая история Кришна Джан Махараджа? Как преданный любил Кришна Джан Махараджа? Как относился к преданным, как любил преданных Кришна Джан Махараджа?
Как Кришна Джана... Как Кришна Джана с вами жреет Сиддхавасу сюда? Ir gal kažkokia Maharadžas galėtų istoriją, kuri labiausiai padarė įspūdį su Vishnudjana Swami.
There is two questions according to Vishnudjana Swami. First question, how he is, was looking to the, for devotees, how he...
How he created devotees?
What is his attitude toward devotees?
He said you should always be in the embracing mood. That was what he said. I remember specifically, he said exactly those words. You must always be in the embracing mood. That's the mood towards devotees. Always in embracing mood. Yeah. And the next question?
Maybe you have some story about Vishnujana Swami or some accident with him.
What was the second thing?
Most favorite story with him.
Most favorite story. I never thought about the most favorite. But...
From Radha Damodar Group. From Radha Damodar Group.
Why from the book? There's
group.
Some...
Group.
Huh?
Group.
Why only that era? Why are you saying it has to be from that era? That's... Why is you putting restriction on it? Vishnujana Swami was preaching many years before he got in the Radha-Damodar party. Why you had to be only from the Radha-Damodar party? I don't understand, that doesn't make sense. There should be an open thing. Why only from Radha-Damodar days?
Any story.
Yeah, that's better. I mean, he was a very big leader in our movement long before the Radha-Damodar party. In Los Angeles, he's very famous for the Harinam Sankirtan. He was the main person. He was Harinam personified. And he had the whole temple, and he led the whole temple out every day on Harinam. For hours and hours a day, he would just go on singing and dancing with unlimited energy. Well, for me, my greatest memories of him are in Austin, because that's where he came and he saved me. By his preaching, I was attracted to join this movement. So to me, that's the most important memories of how he made me a devotee. The other devotees I had experienced in California. But to me, it seemed kind of like a military thing, you know, join some regiment, some military discipline. It wasn't very attractive. It wasn't like nectar, it was like, you know, discipline. You know. Like, you know, yeah, right. I mean, I like the chanting, but these guys are a little weird, too weird for me, you know. You know. The Vishnujana Swami, he was totally different mood. He wasn't like, you gotta follow the rules and regulations. You know, that was the mood I got from the other brahmacharis. You gotta follow the rules and regulations. You know, that was the mood from the other brahmacharis that I met, you know. The Vishnujana Swami, he was like, give your love to Krishna. It's a whole different world, you know. You have to give your love. Instead of loving a dog or a cat, learn how to love Krishna who made all of that. That was one of the songs that he used to sing. Instead of loving a dog or a cat, love Krishna who made all of that. So he was a whole, it was a whole different mood, Vishwanath Swami. He was relishing the bliss of Krishna consciousness and just sharing that bliss with everyone. That was Vishnujan Swami. In rules and regulations, that was just, it's not that, that it wasn't that a big deal. You would do that just to help your, so you get more nectar. That's just to increase the nectar, you'd follow the rules and regulations. You wouldn't follow the rules and regulations for the sake of following the rules and regulations. You do that so you get even more nectar out of Krishna consciousness. But he was very merciful. He would give everybody, he was like Lord Chaitanya, you know. Lord Chaitanya said, no condition here, just take the mercy. Lord Vishnujana Swami was like that. He would just give everybody the mercy. Whether you were a sinful woman hunter, a drug dealer, it didn't matter where you were, you know. He would give everybody the mercy. And they would just relish the bliss. Ah, so. You know, the idea of, well, you got to give up this and that, that would come later on when you wanted to get more serious and get even more nectar. But that was his, he was in the, like in Lord Chaitanya, he was very much like, he was very much manifesting Gaura Shakti, you see. That with no condition, everybody is welcome to come and taste the nectar of Krishna consciousness. That was his mood. Everyone is welcome, come and just dive into this ocean of unlimited nectar. He would describe everything in the most attractive way. I mean, it was amazing. And he himself was so enlivened. When he came to Austin, he had nothing. I mean, all he had was his danda, an abridged copy of the Bhagavad Gita. He had the first, he had those three brown volumes of the Bhagavatam, the first canto that Prabhupada bought on the ship. He had a blanket, a razor blade, and a toothbrush, and that was about, and a bead bag, and that was about it. He had no money. He had no vehicle. He had no kartals. He had no mudanga. He had no harmonium. He had no helper. He came alone to Austin with practically no possessions and no money. And he stood out on the street. There was a place where the hippies used to congregate on the, across from the campus there on the University of Texas. I was, the hippie street market. It was like a, he just went there and he started singing Hare Krishna with his topping with his hands and singing. And by that he attracted so many people just by standing in the street and clapping his hands. There was so much love and so much. He was just like a volcano of bliss, you know. You would get close to him and just you would feel the bliss. It's like a lava of bliss, you know, spewing in all directions from Vishnujana Swami. And he would say, invite me to your home and I will turn your home into a temple. So every night he would do a namahat in somebody else's, every night a different namahat in a different house. So you go down to the campus to see where the Swami is going to be speaking tonight, what address, you see. And then you go to the program. He would sell Back to Godhead magazines for 25 cents, which is 1/4 of a dollar. That's how much they went for in those days, 25 cents. And he would take all that money and spend all of it on boga. Like about, you know, maybe 4 o'clock in the afternoon, he would take all the gold, all the quarters, the 25 cent pieces he collected, and he would go buy some boga at the grocery store. And then he would go to that house and he would cook a feast. And it was the most, it was very simple prasadam, but there was so much bhakti in that prasadam. It was like pure ambrosia. You just get intoxicated by taking the prasadam. And I remember one night the program, this was, I never forget this, it was very powerful. He gave me a personal instruction. Because in those days, hippie movement, the more, the idea was the more you get intoxicated, the more you become high, you see. The idea is to stay high forever, you know. The more you get intoxicated, that's your advancement, you see. You know. And so he was doing a program at the house of a young man named Robin Ferris. He was doing a program at Robin's house one night. Up near about, I remember the neighborhood. But he was doing a program at Robin's house. And I went to the kitchen to get a drink of water, and he just happened to come in the kitchen also. So there's a whole room full of people in the living room, but I'm alone now in the kitchen with Vishnujana Swami. And he told me these few simple words, and it went deep into my heart. He said this, "You have to become sober." That's all he said.
Blue.
"You have to become sober." And I was going, wow. Here I thought that getting intoxicated was where it's at, you know. That's what you do now. You get intoxicated as much as you can. But now he's saying you have to become sober. Wow. But he was speaking from such a high place, you know, such a high level of consciousness, telling me I had to become sober. I was thinking, wow, this is really amazing. So I did that. I followed his instruction. I gave up all this nonsense. And that's his kindness. And he was so tolerant also. He was so tolerant. You could be offensive towards him, but he wouldn't. He would be very tolerant. In my foolishness, as a puffed up young singer-songwriter, he would call me a rascal, you know, which is true. Being a puffed up young guy, I called him a rascal also. I told him he was a rascal. Can you imagine? I was so offensive. But he was completely tolerant of them. He was so tolerant of me, even though I told him he was a rascal also. I couldn't believe, I was so offensive, can you imagine? I told him he was a rascal. Because he was telling me I'm a rascal, so you know, well, if I'm a rascal, you're a rascal too, kind of, you know, false ego type of thing. You know. But he totally tolerated it, completely tolerated it. I can't imagine if it hadn't been for him how I'd become a devotee, really. It was his mercy that I was able to become a devotee. He was so kind, so tolerant of my offensive mentality. And then I remember I moved into the temple as an experiment, not to join, but just to check it out, you know. And so everybody, you know, bows down and says the pranam mantras, the Prabhupada, and so I was trying to learn to do everything they did, so couldn't remember those, you know. That's quite a long thing to learn. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Buddha. So I wrote it down in my hand, you know. Nama, you know, a bell point pen, you know. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya. Like that. And so every time I bow down, there it is. So Vishnujan Swami, he saw what I had done, and he saw I had a little blank space down here left, you see. So he said, "Now you write this," and I did it. I followed his instructions. Said, "I must please my spiritual master and surrender unto him fully." He had me write that on my hand also. So, was I going to do that? No way. I was thinking, you know, George Harrison was spreading Krishna consciousness by writing songs. Because I was a songwriter. I'll just make Krishna conscious songs and I'll go on doing my musician thing, you know, singing and playing my guitar. Just be a Krishna conscious devotee as a musician. But I'm not going to be a disciple. I mean, you know, it's too much. I was thinking like that. Yeah, I'll be a devotee of Krishna, but I'm not going to become a disciple of Prabhupada. That'd be too much, you know. And the devotees showed me. They showed me, but they said, "Look here." They called me, Vishnujan Swami gave me the title Prabhu because one day I did 10 back to guided magazines. I went to the hippie street market and I put a blanket down. I just sat there and put the magazines there and I sat there with a blanket and I sold 10 magazines just sitting there on the blanket. I sold 10 magazines. So I earned the title Prabhu by doing 10 back to guided magazines. I got the vision, he gave me the title Prabhu. Steve Prabhu, you see. So anyway, Steve Prabhu, you know, the... you say you want to be a devotee of Krishna, that's really good. The devotees were telling me, not Vishnujan Swami, but they said, but Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, that if you want to be my devotee, you have to surrender to the spiritual master. Well, I couldn't say a word, but I wasn't going to do it, no way. But then one day, that Radha Krishna temple album would come out. You know, the Govinda prayers, there's the cut after the Govinda prayers is Sri Gravastakam. samsaradava nalalita loka janayakar yunyaganaganadvam. So I was vacuuming the temple room rug that day, and I did that every morning. It's my service to vacuum the temple room rug. And I was hearing, we were playing that record album, and I was really amazed. These devotees have so much love for Prabhupada. You can hear in their voices that feeling of love they have for Prabhupada. That's something that I don't experience. And that I could see that feeling is the most wonderful, that love they have for Prabhupada is the most pure, wonderful, exhilarating thing that you could ever experience. I mean, I was amazed. They have something that I don't. They love Prabhupada and I don't. They're tasting something that I'm not tasting. They love Prabhupada and I'm holding back. Then I was thinking, wouldn't it be beautiful if I gave my life for Prabhupada? And that was it. The tears were coming down my face and Prabhupada entered into my heart. I never left. I was So, this was all due to the Vishnujana Swami's association, because he had so much love for Prabhupada. He really loved Prabhupada. I remember just hearing him say the Pranam mantra, the Prabhupada. I was hearing him bow down and saying the prayers to Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nivishesha Shunyavadi Paschachade Shatharine. I heard the love in his voice. I heard the pleading, the calling, the feeling like a small child calling out for the parents. I could hear that mood in his voice, and that very much affected me. To see his mood of calling out to Prabhupada. He was chanting from the heart. He wasn't like a mechanical thing, it was from his heart. It was so wonderful. So, in this way, I have many remembrances of Vishnujana Swami. Many more, but we don't have time for all of them today. They'll be coming in my book. I'm writing an autobiography now. Working on it. I was working on it this morning, actually. That'll be coming out, I don't know how soon, but making an autobiography. So Vishnujana Swami will be there very prominently manifested in the autobiography. Any other questions? Yeah.
If I do japa meditation with my intents that I wish for my friend or for myself to be more healthy or to find a job, I am not insert. Japa or mantra.
Insert
ijaista.
Offense. This offensive. Well, if I am chanting to get a new job and to get something good to my friends, if it is offensive of chanting.
To get
it. It is offensive chanting.
Is it an offense to get a new job?
No, to chant with mood to get a new job.
Oh no! You definitely should not do that. You shouldn't chant for any material purpose. Definitely not. That's the ninth offense against the holy name. For some fruity result, no, you should only chant it all pure love of God. If you want to get a job to make more money, that's okay. But don't ask Krishna for that. The best thing is to ask Krishna just for pure bhakti. Yeah, don't ask Krishna, don't chant japa for any purpose except for developing love of God. It's the only reason. It's called namaparat. To chant for some material gain like that, getting a new job. Yeah, definitely do not do that. Do not do that. Any other question? Yeah.
What's the best trick is to be safe from women?
The best
trick.
Yeah. The best trick how to be safe from women is to realize, well, externally they're really attractive, you know, especially the young ones, you know. The young, good-looking ones, they can really razzle-dazzle your brain, you know. But just think of it, well, you know, just think of how dirty your own, when you're passing stool and urine, just think how dirty it is, you know. Her body, you know, how dirty your mouth is when you're brushing your teeth and flossing your teeth and getting all that stinky rot out. Her body, her mouth is stinky and full of rotten stuff, just like your mouth. Her anus, her rectum comes, the same dirty, nasty stool comes out of her rectum. The same disgusting urine comes out of her organs. So it's just the same damn nasty, ugly, gross, disgusting, you know, conglomeration of mucus, bile, stera, urine, and pus and blood that I have. You know, what's the big deal?
Package.
you got to see beyond Maya's, you know, packaging job, you know. Maya has packaged.
Yeah.
Maya has packaged a bag of mucus, bile, urine, stool, pus, and blood in such a way that you go, I want it. I want it. I want it. Think of it like this also. Isn't it embarrassing that here you are, a pure spiritual soul, part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, you have an eternal rasa with Krishna, his eternal lila, and now you're identifying as this gross bag of mucus, bile, air, stool, pus, and blood. That's pretty embarrassing. And then it's even more embarrassing that you should be attracted to another bag of mucus, pile, urine, stool, and blood, you see. That's even more embarrassing. It's like a double, having a material body is embarrassment enough. You see, that's already embarrassing. But even then be attractive, I want to get somebody going with this other bag of mucus, style, urine, and blood. That's even more embarrassing. It's a double embarrassment, you know. So if you see in this way, you know, you can just kind of, when Cupid throws his little arrows, you know, you can say, Cupid, get the hell out of here, you know. Go bother somebody else with your stupid little arrows, you know. Yeah, there's all, now what if you do, you're laying there, you know, it's just like, your lust is just totally overcoming your brain. You can't get rid of it. What do you do? Well, a little trick is this. You say, Krishna, please help me. I'm being overpowered by lust. My mind is going crazy with lust now. Krishna, please save me. Please save me. Please save me. Please. Especially, I advise some men who have trouble with masturbating. You see, they get carried away. They masturbate. And they just can't control it. They go nuts sometimes. They masturbate. Even brahmacharis living in the temple sometimes, they masturbate. And they just get carried away with this desire to stimulate their genitals and pass semen, you know, they just can't stop it. And they get addicted to doing it, and it's just they can't get out of it, and they need help. So the thing is, if you ever get attacked by lust, you just say, Krishna, please save me, please save me, please save me, Krishna, please help me, please help me, Krishna, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. In this way, you just call out to Krishna, begging for help. And here's the insider secret. The pleasure you would give from sex, or, you know, or brahmachari masturbating, the pleasure you would give, and compared to the pleasure of taking shelter of Krishna by calling his holy name, you see, that feeling of dependency and begging for the Lord's help, if you really get into it, it becomes millions and billions of times more relishable than sex, you see. So that's the trick. If you're being attacked by Mr. Lust, and you want to gratify that lusty desire some means or another, and the pleasure you can get by calling out to Krishna, because if you really get into it, completely dwarfs, if you know that what I mean, it dwarfs the pleasure of sex pleasure. It makes the pleasure of sex become absolutely insignificant. Yan Machanadi Grihamedi Sukami to Cham. That pleasure which is considered the topmost pleasure for the materialistic people is actually to Cham. It is insignificant, Bhagavatam says. It is 10th class, you see. You see. You have to understand that pleasure of enjoying a young girl, that's 10th class pleasure. It's low class. It's like, you know, picking up a cigarette butt on the street and somebody threw a cigarette down and you want to finish smoking the cigarette butt. It's gross. Even I have a friend named Patrick Dolan, and he's not a devotee, but he appreciated our Krishna consciousness very much. He is the one who first taught me the mantra back in 1968. And my friend Patrick, I remember, he used to call sex he had a term for it, a body nasty. He called sex a body nasty. You know, in other words, a nasty bodily function. So I thought that was very profound, you know, the body nasty. So you just got to train yourself. It takes years, actually, to really get... We're so polluted by you know, Romeo and Juliet and, you know, me shall my bell. You know, all this conditioning we have growing up in the Western world. We're so conditioned, it's not easy to get rid of it, you know. But you have to be determined. And if you're determined, you can do it. And there's the greatest liberation in the world is to become free from sex desire. It's such a great feeling. And not being carried away by those lusty thoughts anymore. When they come, they just bounce right off. You know, you can just, you're very strong to just say, you know, you don't want to give in. See, the brahmachari may externally give up sex, but then he lays down in his sleeping bag at night and he goes daydreaming about hugging some girl and kissing some girl and having sexual intercourse with some girl. He may mentally contemplate these things, you see. But you can't give in. You can't do, that's subtle sex, to meditate on it. You have to train yourself not to allow your mind to do that kind of stuff. You just got to really say, okay, mind, stop it. You know, stop it. You got to be really strong with yourself, within your own heart. You're laying there at night, you're just laying there for all the brahmacharya to see, just laying there. But in your mind, this whole struggle is going on. It's like the battle of Kurukshetra within your heart, you know. You have to be a powerful warrior. Even when you're laying there in your sleeping bag, you remember, oh, he's just laying there taking rest. He's laying there trying to go to sleep. But then you get the battlefield of Kurukshetra going on there, you know. You got to be a heavy-duty kshatriya, you know. Brahmacharya means he has to be a heavy-duty kshatriya. He has to have all kinds of weapons to defeat himself from his lusty thoughts. Verses, mantras, you know, pastimes, philosophical realizations. You have your whole arsenal of things that when lust comes... You can just pull up a sloka, pull up a remembrance of what Prabhupada said on Venice Beach. The position of the sex, that how nasty it is. You see, that's very good. The position of the sex, that how nasty it is, Prabhupada said. It's exactly what he said. And then Sarup Damodar, playing the role of a scientist, said, but Prabhupada, how to continue the species? Prabhupada said, you finish it, this condemned world. So the more you can hear Prabhupada, the more you can hear gurus, the more you can read Prabhupada's books, you know, you just got to fill yourself up with Krishna consciousness. And these attacks come, you have your arsenal, you're ready for counter. You have to counterattack. When Maya attacks, you have to launch a counterattack immediately. If you let your defenses down, well, that girl looks so beautiful, you know, man. Be really nice to kiss her, have sex with her, boy, she really looked good, you know. The mind may start doing these kind of garbage, you know. You just got to be really staunch, you know. Say, no, no way, stop, mind, don't do this kind of nonsense. Don't lead me down this trail once again, Maya. You've taken me down this trail for millions of births, and that's it. I'm not your servant anymore, Maya Devi. Now I simply learn the Guru and Krishna, and that's it. You gotta be very Within your mind, you have to be very, very powerful. Dhritavrata, a great vow, like Grandfather Bhishma, you know. If you take this, you have this vow never to indulge in illicit sex life, Krishna will empower you. He'll greatly empower you. It's really worth it. Whatever austerity you have to go through, whatever torture you have to go through, to train yourself. Whether you're staying brahmacharya or you get married, the same thing. You got to have that same brahmachari consciousness of not being a slave of the senses. Any other questions? Time is running. We got 4 minutes, and then I'm going to stop it. Yeah.
Kaip reikėtų tada sudaryti šventyklą, daleiskim, pas mus sąlygos tokios, kaip mes turėtume pastoviai susilyti ir labai sudėtingai būna, tai turėtų, kad mes turėtume kaip brahmačari daugiau pamokslauti, tada mes grįžtam tiesiog, mes būnam pavargę ir tas protas nepradeda, kažkas tiesiog nuvalo. Ar mes ten taip turim savę atsiduoti, ar kaip turi susidėti tas šventyklą, tas santykį tarp matadžių ir
So how in practice to deal with this relationship with matajis in the temple, because there is always many matajis and you always have some contact. So how practical?
Especially in the Bajari room here. Well, make sure you don't brush against them. When you're walking, you got to be really careful. Don't have any bodily contact with them. When you go in the bajari room, you brush against each other, that's really bad, You have to avoid that kind of thing. And you don't, whatever business you need to do, do it in a very respectful way. It's like you're dealing with your mother, you see. But don't chat like, well, Maharaj, you tell me how you became a devotee, No. No buddy-buddy stuff. Just business. Business is okay. Whatever needs to be done, should be done politely and respectfully. This is my mother, you see. But nothing buddy-buddy. Prabhupada said, talk almost nil. Whatever you need to do, that's all right. Do it respectfully. You're always in the mood of offering your respects to the ladies, you see. This is my mother. I have my respects to her. You're always in that mood. But not wanting to get some, buddy-buddy thing going with them. Okay. I have time for one more quick one. I got about 90 seconds left. If there's nothing, we'll go ahead and stop here. So I thank you. All right.
You come into our temple year after year. Are you happy and you see some progress? In our temple. Do you see some progress in our temple?
Progress? Yes. I see you all here. This is progress. I see all these young men very eager. One older man. He's grasped the brahmacharya. I see all you young men here very eager to learn about brahmacharya life. That gives me great happiness to see you all here. I see a great potential here. I see young men, new men coming, new faces. They're saying, you're a new face, you're a new face to me. You're a new face to me. I've seen you before. I'm very happy to see so many young men who are dedicating their life to Prabhupada's mission. To me, it's a great thing. I see your enthusiasm here. I'm very pleased with this temple. So I go to many temples around the world. This is one of my, practically the most favorite place. That's why I have my Vyas Puja here every year. This is actually my favorite place in the whole world for preaching, here in Kaunas, Lithuania. I like your temple the best in the whole movement. For a place for me to preach, I like it the best. There are problems here, but there's a wonderful mood. And the wonderful enthusiasm here will gradually, by that, all problems will gradually be solved. Okay? Thank you very much. Gantaraj Srimad. I didn't do a Bhagavatam class. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
His gracious mind, Sankarsan Degari Maharaj ki jai.
Hare Krishna. Hachilabai.